Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Well, it's Wednesday.
Middle of the week.
It is the middle of the week. Well, it's the beginning of ours in this case.
Yeah, it was the first day of our week for radio shows.
Ah, so here we are. Lots of callers in the queue, so we're going to be getting to you callers in just a moment. And we have a protesting cat. She's very annoyed with us this morning because she's only been able to be outside for, I don't know, what, 40 minutes? Apparently that's not enough. So hopefully she'll calm down throughout the show. And our call-in number, 914-338-0164. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And what else? 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. And we hope you join us on Facebook or on Twitter. You may do so by finding our pages by way of our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. And you can like our pages. There's a page for the radio show. You can send us a friend request. There's all kinds of ways to connect with us, and we really appreciate it if you do so. If you call the show, please do support our social media pages. Okay, 480 is our first caller, and bring that person on. Hello, 480.
Hi. I'm looking for a reading. Hi.
Well, right place.
Whatever you pick up.
Okay. What's your name? How about we get that first?
Tasha.
Your number looks familiar to me, and the name Tasha is familiar to me, but I'm not directly remembering.
Yeah, you've spoken to me before.
Yeah. Okay, so where are you calling from, Tasha?
Arizona.
Is 480 Arizona number? I don't...
Yeah, I think it's Phoenix, but I'm in Tucson.
Okay. And what's your birthday, Tasha? I don't remember.
12977.
Okay. 129-1977. You're saying whatever we pick up, but is there any specific question that you want to focus on?
Finance.
Okay. Are you working?
No.
So you need a job.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. 36.9, right? Is that what you're talking about? That's right. Okay. And you are 42, right?
Yes.
42 years old. So you're not on a multiple. That's not going to happen until 45. 3 years away. 3 years away. So how long have you been unemployed, Tasha?
For a while.
Months?
But I pick up little small things, like for a couple of weeks, and then get fired or whatever. But I've not really had a long, you know, tenure with any particular job, you know?
Okay. So when was the last time you had a steady job?
Well, I had one. Oh, actually, I did have one for about 6 months, six, seven
no,
months.
Six,
And that was between September and April.
September and April. So I asked you, is it more than 6 months? Has it been more than 6 months that you've been out of work? So the 6 month period is actually the job that you had, 6 months.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
April, May, June, July, August. And it's been, well, it's been about 5 months. So it's under 6 months that you've been unemployed. The 6 months figure resonates mm-hmm. with that job. And what were you doing in the job?
I was doing, a nurse aide.
What did you say, Tasha? I'm sorry.
A nurse aide.
You were a nurse aide? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I would imagine that there's a lot of employment opportunities for people in that field.
Mm-hmm.
So what's been the, you said.
I'm not going back in because I actually moved to another state. I did indeed move over here. So I did not, so I don't want to go back into that field.
I'm trying to avoid
going back because I have to actually be retrained for this state. No. Yeah.
Okay. So what type of work are you
looking
for?
It's a state license.
Yeah, uh-huh. State license. What type of work are you looking for then?
Well, I was doing customer service.
That's what I wrote down. I'm showing Neil right now. I thought customer service. So when you said nurse's aide, I was surprised, but I wrote down customer service for your job.
Uh-huh.
So that's what you're looking for. So, okay. Mm-hmm. And you're getting fired from jobs.
Right.
Why?
The people don't like me. So a lot of people have been recommended that I stop actually going to Indeed, like the website, and go directly to like the top 100 companies and just apply strictly with them and don't go to Indeed and Craigslist type of jobs, you know, but go straight to the higher end positions. So that's what a lot of people are actually recommending.
Right. But there's a problem because there's, You're getting
people.
How many jobs?
Yeah,
have you
people
been?
Problems.
Yeah.
About three. I have people problems.
So
you know, I don't really like. Huh.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I just I like to live my life a certain way, and because I think I'm older and it's a new generation, and I think they're a little bit different from how I do things or how I think life should be. I really put up a lot of boundaries and I don't like want to be put up with a lot of toxic behaviors, and I will block you out of my life if I do think that you're on something that I'm not on, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's
so
understandable.
Like,
there's definitely a difference.
I just can't do the drama because there's a lot of these jobs. You have a lot of people. I don't know. The social culture has just changed. And it's
I agree.
Know.
I mean,
I don't know if you know what I'm talking
about. Millennials
yeah.
are different. If, you know, that you're, you know, in a different generation, I guess Generation X is your
Yeah, I think I am an X. I don't know, or the one before, but I'm 1977, so I don't know. I think I was right before the Xers.
Well, in any
like
case,
so.
there's a difference in how your age group was raised versus millennials and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it's understandable that you might have some issues when you're going into jobs where there are people that are younger. You're having to adapt, and you might even have to be answering to people that are younger.
That's no problem, but it seems like they're more intimidated by me, and they're the ones actually coming up with all the toxic games. They got a lot of games. I'm like, you know what? Let me leave because this is not going to work out. So I don't know if they're like, they think I want their job, and not really. I just want to make a paycheck. I mean, if they offer me a position, a higher position, I'll take it. But it's not that serious, you know. But they're fighting for that money.
Unfortunately, when we're working in situations where we are, you know, in jobs and have to work around other people and we're not our own bosses. Mm-hmm. Even when you're your own boss, you have to adapt to people because usually you're working with
just somebody. That's right.
But when you're in that kind of formal atmosphere, you do have to adapt. And unfortunately, especially in a customer service industry, which is more like an entry level type position that you're looking for, you've got to get over having those problems, even though, you know, you sound like you have a very strong personality, which is great, but sometimes that can be a detriment when you're trying to fit into
it's very much so when people I don't know if it's the government, but I think they kind of messed up the younger generations. I think they're very everything they taught us against, they're all for. It's just so opposite in this generation. Everything is just opposite. Like my generation, they tell you to think for yourself. They don't think for themselves in this generation. It's like a threat. So I don't know. You know, everything is peer pressure in this generation. And my generation, it was like, you know, don't let peer pressure get to you, you know. Stand up for your rights. Stand up for who you are. But not this generation, a little different.
We got to let Neil talk here.
Quietly. Getting down to your question.
I don't know.
I have a question. I still don't understand the nature of the conflict.
A lot of it is coming from gossip. And I don't, I really don't care about it. Quit the job. I mean,
Sasha, that's vague. What can you give us in 1 minute, just a sheer example? Did you yell at them for something? Did they like do something you said I'm not going to do? I mean, can you give us one example?
It's a lot of gossip, and a lot of it there. I know it's a technical or it's like a word for it, where people like gang stalk you and stuff. And that's what I'm saying. You know, this generation, they're all about gang stalk and they don't think for themselves. But I'm like, a lot of time I am the target of gang stalking a lot.
But what are they
and a lot of times.
What are they saying about you?
I don't know, a lot of different things. I do kind of do some stuff on social media. But I don't really think it's that serious. But
they
got them all kind of.
You mean?
Just post my opinion on different stuff. Maybe I might prophesy or might do some psychic stuff. And they all laugh at it, but I'd be like, yeah, but it came true, didn't it? So I don't know what the real issue. I think it might be more jealousy. I don't know, to tell you the truth, what the issue is. You know, you just have a bunch of people who just want to just see me. I don't know. Because I might not be taking responsibility for my actions. I really don't know. I have to tell you the guy on the truth at this point. I'm just like minding my business. I do what I have to do. If you don't like my channel, you're welcome to unfriend. And I don't have 50 people on my channel, so I don't know who invited them to my channel in the first place. So I don't know. You know, maybe it's something I'm doing and I don't realize that I'm doing. I have no idea. Hello, are you still there?
Tasha,
are
you still there?
Hello.
Hi, Tasha. Are you still there?
We
had a
I'm here.
We got talk radio, so there was a we had to move into another room to see if we could get a better connection. We're back, so sorry about that. So back
no
to
where problem.
We were. Where were we? Yeah.
Well, here's what I think, because we've got other callers. Here's what I think. you need to work at a more conservative establishment where more of the older people, when you do the customer service, and either a small group of people like you or a large corporation, where you're not going to be thinking those bills. It all depends on what you want to do to customer service.
I just want to try real quick. I don't understand why. I would probably get back into being a nurse's aide. I imagine that's going to pay better than customer service, and you're going to have more of a long-term, the possibility of long-term employment with a job like that. Why don't you want to do nurse's aide work?
Yeah. Okay. No, I was thinking about the first day I went for the customer. I was like, man, I want to go back to the state hospital. So I don't know. As soon as I get this thing, I had to get my money back up so I could take a class and take the license.
Is that what's stopping you?
Yeah, I still would need the money to take the class to get the license. You know, blah blah blah.
Meantime,
you know.
Can you do like customer service in a large, like Target or something like that?
Like, no, I've never done that. I've always been in a call center. I've never really been to a Target and been like face to face.
So you're
like
used
Shirley.
To on the phone.
Yeah, I thought you.
I'm a call center.
When you first called, I saw you doing things on the phone, but maybe face to face might be okay, unless you want to like work for a large corporation like Verizon or something.
That's what that's what they keep on telling me. Go back to the Fortune 500 companies and apply with them.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people are saying.
But I think and then ultimately get your get back into doing the nurse's aide work. I think. Do you like that kind of work?
Yeah, apparently. I didn't think I wanted to do it again, but I'm kind of missing it. missing my patients.
I think that's going to be more rewarding and, you know, anyway.
Yeah, I think so, too. I really do.
No, and you're kind of
caught.
Okay, well. If you could be an aide, you know, like, maybe you could do something in terms of senior
citizens exactly.
And not so much do bedpan, but maybe you can, you know...
like the assistant living.
Yeah, with the assistant.
Yeah, like be a take them out to yeah shopping and stuff. Oh, that'd be kind of cool, right?
And you know what you could do too is you know you could, if you get your license, you could actually be your own boss and develop your own business. I mean that's a possibility too. So there are a lot of different things, Tasha. But we do have to get.
That's a good
big list, but hopefully we can. Some ideas, and hopefully you can get something in the short term that can help
you
survive.
Yeah, if you really work fast, I think you're going to be working in the month of September. You'll have a job.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I think I could do that. All right, sounds good.
Okay, Tasha,
right.
Good luck.
Well, thank you so much.
Facebook. Now I'm interested in seeing her Facebook page to see what she does. It's so cool.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. You can do that. You can follow.
All right.
Okay, take care.
Definitely. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, wow. So many callers. And my goodness. 303 is our next.
Hi. This is Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling to ask a question about my finances and in particular about my home. I've accumulated some debt and I'm not sure, and I've had some family members with health issues, and so I've got a lot of responsibility. I'm not sure if I should hold on to my home or if I should sell it. So that's kind of what I'm calling about.
Okay. All right. And where are you calling from?
Oh, Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is your birth date?
October 25th, 1952.
Okay.
Yeah.
you're a 25-7, which happens to be actually you have an interesting arrangement of numbers, Marilyn, because your karmic number 25 happens to be your day as well as your year inverted. So that's it.
Oh, yeah.
A unique arrangement of numbers. And we've never spoken with you before, have we?
I'm not sure. If so, it might have been a very long time ago.
Okay, maybe. And you're going to be 67 this year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you sound so much younger than 67. You have a very young
voice. It's just a number.
Okay. And so you're thinking of selling your home. Are you having financial problems? Are you still in the work field at 67 years old?
I am. I'm working part-time. I work at a university part-time. I've got some income there. And then I do some writing, and I do a little bit of counseling because I'm also a transpersonal psychologist. But my husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. My mother's 86. She's coming to live with us. So
you have a lot on your plate.
I've got a lot on my plate. That's the thing. And the house, you know, the maintenance. I've got, you know, kids who help out. You know, they come and help out. But I don't know. The financial stuff is, you know, the debts and all of that. I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll refinance, but I'm not sure I could do that. I'm not sure. It's just one of those quandaries that I'm kind of, you know, mulling over and thought I could, you know, get some guidance.
So just real quick, how much equity do you have? I mean, can we ask that? Is it okay? You don't have to answer, but I'm wondering how much equity you have in your home.
Well, I have about half of what it's worth. So,
half of the value?
Yeah, half of the value, and it's, you know, worth over $1 million. So
it's over $1 million.
A good amount.
Okay. So and what would you do if you were to sell? Would you buy something smaller or would you rent?
Yeah, I think I'd buy something smaller. Maybe something on one floor, you know, like a ranch style that, you know, they could, you know, move around in.
Move around more easily.
Yeah, but I love, the thing is I'm torn because this, you know, I love where I live. I love, you know, this beautiful mountains that I'm in, this home. So I love it. And I, you know, I could modify it, but it's the cost and the upkeep and all of that, that, you know, I'm trying to be practical. But yet, you know, on the other hand, I have this, like, you know, appreciation for my home.
And so with the one story, you'd be downsizing. So
yeah.
I'm assuming it's a pretty large home.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Downsizing, you might be able to, with the equity, buy a large chunk of that home and not have such a big payment, or buy the whole thing outright, essentially.
Right. Right. That's exactly the case. Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I lean towards maybe selling the house and getting something smaller so you don't have that financial burden and your energy can be spent, you know, more focused on taking care of your husband and your mother. That's what I think.
Yeah.
But Neil might have a different opinion.
Well, have you thought about a reverse mortgage?
That's an idea.
Well, I did think about that. And, you know, you read about those things and they're like weird. They say that they're scams for seniors.
Well,
I don't know much about them.
I don't think they're a scam for seniors. What happens is you do start to eat away in the equity of the home because you don't have a payment, and you know, the bank essentially you won't have any more house payment. But as years progress, you know, the equity gets less and less in the home. So I don't think it's a scam necessarily, but you would lose some of that equity eventually. But if you never sell, there's nothing really that would be.
If you never sell, it's okay. And you do get the advantage of a line of credit that you could work off of, and you don't have any payments on the house. So if you want to keep your house, that's the only, that might be an idea. It's not really a scam.
No.
It's not really a scam. But, but the catch is that sometimes it's difficult to convert it to your heirs after you die. They have to kind of be able to buy it out, buy out the loan and things like that. But as far as keeping your home and living there until you die, that might be an answer because it would eliminate a lot of costs. So that's one thing.
But the size of the home, my question.
Well, I don't know. About, you'd have to talk to a
reputable. That's not what I'm talking about whether this is going to be a good place for her to care for her husband and her mother.
Yeah, that's up to her. That's going to be up to your physicality. I mean, you say you love the home, you want to convert it to things. There are still ways to keep. If you want your home, Marilyn, fight for it.
Yeah.
Don't give up so easily.
Okay.
And don't be so overwhelmed. You're a psychologist, whatever, to what degree, but you're intelligent. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. I mean, if you concentrate on being overwhelmed by financial difficulties and all these things coming up, you may just have to rethink how to live in your environment. And maybe you have to make concessions and changes that weren't apparently in your foresight. But nonetheless, if you want to stay there, then stay there. Fight for it. Find out ways to creatively make it work and stay there. Don't move. Yeah. You don't have to move just because you're in a difficulty. I don't know if that's making any sense to you because there are things you can do. You can also talk to a financial advisor, figure out how to manage it.
Would the financial burden, if that was lifted, would that move you towards staying?
Yes, it would.
So really, size of a house, the downsizing really isn't as important to you?
Right. I think the comfort of this home is more important than the downsizing.
Okay.
Don't prejudge reverse mortgages. Look into it.
Okay.
And really study it.
You want to make sure you go with there are companies that are reputable. So that may be your idea of a scam. But they're reputable. You want to find a good mortgage company in your area. That's some of the big ones on TV I wouldn't trust necessarily. But,
that gives me an option I hadn't thought of. And this idea of, fighting for what I want in a sense is, and the overwhelmment, like, I appreciate this discussion because it kind of brought a couple things to light as to how I may be kind of giving my power away So
if I were in your shoes, I'm pretty perceptive. If I were in your shoes, I would say, I'm staying here. I'm going to find a way to make it work, period. And then I would start working towards that instead of confusing yourself because you came on with a lot of doubt and you were compromised by having to move, which wasn't really in your favor. No, you're going to stay. Right. How long have you been in the home?
For 15 years.
15 years. The only thing that you have to understand with a reverse mortgage that you do start, the equity of your house will go down. So if you want to will it to your children, they will have to buy out, as Neil was saying. And it will reduce the value of the home, obviously, because the loan climbs.
Yeah, but imagine if you qualify.
They would
equity,
with 50%.
You will qualify. You don't have to make payments on the home anymore. All you have to do is keep up your property tax and general maintenance insurance.
Yeah,
And then that's it. And then you have a line of credit. Well, of course, if you use that line of credit, your everything will go up. But there's ways to do it, Marilyn. I don't see you moving.
Okay, cool. Well, you guys are awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you just for being there. And I feel like I can move forward now. Thank you.
Great. Great. Well, we're glad you called, Marilyn. Thanks for getting in touch.
Okay, take care.
And let us know what you decide. We'd love to hear.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'll call you back.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Who is next? I'm sorry. I'm a little confused looking at the queue here. 917 is our next caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, my name is Crystal.
CH or C?
CR.
Yeah, CR. I meant plain C or with CH. There's so many different ways to spell.
Right, yeah.
Your name. Okay, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to know if you guys have an opinion or see anything regarding my online business. I'm trying to start out by selling candles and possibly handmade soaps. So do you think that would be successful for me this year?
Well, let's get your birth date, Crystal. Are you calling from, is this New York number? 917?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What's your birth date?
It's February 21st, 86.
And okay, so you're 29/11/2. Is that right? Did I have that up right now? Okay. And how long have you been making soaps and candles?
It's just something I have been thinking about over a year now. But given that I'm not working, so I think I'm just gonna go ahead. I started to buy my supplies and stuff.
So this is not something you've done before?
No.
You've never made soap or candles, but you're thinking of learning how so you can have an online business, essentially.
Right.
An online business?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's tough because there's a lot of people selling soaps and candles online, so you're going to have competition. And given you're not experienced, you're having to learn a whole new craft, essentially. Which, I mean, yeah, you might be able to sell some stuff, but I don't know to rely on it for a sole source of income. What other type of work do you do?
I do mostly administrative stuff, you know, like accounting, HR, et cetera.
And you're not working right now?
No.
What? Go ahead.
Well, if you want to go into this full time, Crystal, you've got to... Learn how to market your product. You have to have something unique about it, and you've got to get return customers. Have a gimmick of some kind, you know, a soap for the month or a soap for your birthday, or you got to do promotions. You have to come up with something that links your product to a continuum, to something that continues to why they want something. You get a year's soap and candles for each month. Maybe the candle for the month or a candle for astrological signs. You get a soap that matches it for the essence of the body. You've got to come up with some kind of gimmick or something, and then start building your audience.
But yeah, I agree totally. But I don't think she's going to be able to, you know. How long has it been since you worked? And like a regular
since
job?
May of this year.
Since May, and do you have income or like savings to suffice you for a certain period of time?
Just savings, right.
For how long? I mean, how long can you?
Possibly by the end of this year.
End of this year. I mean, you know, there's no harm in trying, but I would definitely have something else to supplement your income because I don't think in 6 months she's going to be able to, you know, make enough money to sustain herself. I just don't. Yeah.
It's going to take, you're going to have to work, you know.
I mean, I'm looking for, full-time employment. So if that comes along, you know, I'll just do this as a backup plan also.
Yeah. What's the problem? Then do it.
Yeah.
If it's something you love the idea, you want to be creative about it, you know, look at how people market their products, how they start off, how they do it. Read a couple of books and biographies and stuff and how it started. Maybe you can take a small class if you have some time on how to market a product and how to make it pleasing and how to keep your customers and how to gain customers. You know, you've got to really study this, Crystal. But if you want to be creative and sell your soaps and candles online, at least I'm getting a partially positive sign. That's better than nothing. And so formulates encouragement. And you could start off by selling it to your family, you know, and branch from there, and then they know people.
Or, you know, the other things you could do is, you know, get a farmer's market license. I don't know, do you have farmer's markets in your area?
Oh, I never really checked before, but I look into it.
That is another place where you can sell things like that.
You know? Is there a certain gimmick with your soaps and candles?
I'm thinking more of like the islands, the Caribbean islands, you know.
Oh, so island scents and things like that. Well, that's, you know, that's a good start. That you know, that's your basis for what you're
doing. And go online and go to areas where the audience likes that kind of stuff and start promoting your product there. You've got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of work to do. You've got to learn how to penetrate into the market.
Okay.
And so it's just not the idea. You've got to learn how to plant yourself into the market and start to expose your product and get it out there and start to find your audience, customers.
Yeah, even the most talented people that aren't great at, you know, self-promotion, marketing, have a hard time because of that missing piece. So you want to make sure that you're not only producing a wonderful product, but that you know how to attract business.
Right.
So,
but on a psychic level, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, do it, Crystal. If you've got another job or you're working, that's a good advice. But if you want to do this, you have a creative element in your energy, and you're 33 years old right now.
4 years beyond 20.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go forward with it.
Okay,
great. Crystal.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thanks for the advice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Keep in touch with us. Okay.
Well,
and Crystal,
thank you.
Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. We hope that she does. Okay. Gosh, we have so many callers and so little time. All right. 2860. Hi, Susan. How are you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good.
So I wanted to talk to you.
What's going on?
I went to a meeting today, and they're asking me to resign so that I get all of my benefits that I have coming.
Oh, you're kidding.
There's a lot of people that, there's a lot of people that are going against me saying that the same thing, and it's not even true. So it's like a coup almost. It's like they're just, So I'm just hoping that I will get the money that I have coming.
You mean what is your decision? Are you deciding to resign? Are you calling to ask whether you should or shouldn't?
I think I'm going to.
You're going to.
Because I think I'm going to, because this way I get all of my benefits. I get everything I have coming to me.
So if you mean the vested status you spoke to us last show about, that 3-year waiting period, you're going to actually get what you would have gotten at 65? Is that what we're understanding?
No, I'm just going to get what I put into it. And then I'll get, which is a lot. And because they don't have to give that to me. If they terminate me, they don't have to give that to me.
Oh, so you're thinking to salvage whatever you have. What about, is your attorney saying anything about this? Have you spoken with him?
This is the attorney where I work. It's a different attorney. It's a union attorney. So,
union. So you have a union attorney for the work. Have you spoken with the union about it?
Yeah, that's who recommends this, because this way I get everything I have done. Because it looks like they're just going to use these people and really use it against me.
Wow. And what about, like, health? Are you able to keep your health insurance and everything like that?
She's going to see if she can extend that. And keep me on it. And then I'll just look for a job. I'll collect unemployment. I'll get everything I have coming to me and look for a job. I only have 1 year to work anyway.
I thought it was 3 that you were trying to stay at the job.
Well, it would, for that job to be vested. But for me to collect, I can do it next year.
Are they going to drop the charges if you take this deal?
I don't know. That didn't come up. That's something separate than what I'm doing here.
Boy.
Yeah. So.
But is it the same company that is trying to charge you?
Yeah.
With...
It's
no, they're trying. They want to get rid of you. They're not going to pursue anything. They want to just get rid of you and not go through. I would take the package.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to. It's a long drive for me to drive out there, and it's a really stressful. Excuse me.
Yeah, they're not going to. They want to get rid of you. They don't want to go through any hassles, and they're trying to just pay you off and get you out of there, and it's over.
Yeah.
I would do it.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, if you want to get rid of me this bad, I'll leave. I mean, I worked my butt off there, but okay.
You don't want to lose that and then, you know, be fired and not get anything, that's for sure.
If you're working with a union lawyer, just make sure the end contract is sound and secure and you get everything in writing. Not by verbal.
I'm wondering if they can negotiate. I know you're saying it's separate and you're dealing with a separate attorney, but I wonder if you could say, listen, I will take this package, but you need to drop these charges because, you know, I want to separate amicably from you and have a clean break. So I'm wondering if you could negotiate them dropping.
I'll try that. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try it because there's no sense in them pursuing anything if I'm just going to leave.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah. I think
it worked out this way. I know you wanted to keep the job for a few more years so you could have, more than you're getting now, but.
Not after the meeting today, I realized how bad they want to get rid of me.
Yeah. Now,
I think they have someone that they want to hire for my job.
So they've,
And this has been in the works, I think, that they want to replace me.
Okay, well,
it's all good.
This is a good situation then turning out good for you. So I would go ahead and follow through on that and get everything in writing and try to have them drop the charges and then go on with your life.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Well, that's good. As long as you're at peace, you know.
I don't know why they want to get rid of me the way that they do. It's just the main character who is the lead person in my department feels a certain way. So,
well, they're trying to make it easy on themselves and they can swallow up whatever gains you have in leaving at this point. And they just want to get it done with. So I think that's the best thing for you and then move on with your life. You know, you still have a lot of life left. And
she's going to work for another year. You said another year, a job for another
year.
You're
going to be happy.
Yeah.
You'll be happy.
A year. I could work longer, but at least a year.
Well, I was saying when we last talked, you were saying, well, I want to be vested and I have 3 more years. But, you know, being in that environment, I'm going to go back to what I said on Friday, being in that environment is not healthy. So you would have been able to talk out, but, you know, maybe this is better. In the long run.
But if they want to fire you, they're going to fire you.
Yeah.
They'll find a way. They will find a way.
Well, and clearly they this whole criminal piece that they've, you know, filing charges against you and having you arrested and all that, obviously they're going to pretty extreme lengths to get rid of you.
Yep.
So you don't want to be in that kind of environment. Okay, well... Let us know.
All right.
Okay.
Do you think it's going to work out that they will give me everything?
I
think so.
Promising it, right?
We'll put out that. I think so. We'll put out energy for it.
Okay.
This might be a turn for your better welfare. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. You're welcome. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, our next caller hung up. So they missed out. Okay. 508. Hi, you're on there. Are you there, caller? Okay, no. Apparently not. Oh, wait. Okay. Hi. Is this Niz?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi. One second.
Are you there?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, sorry. I actually kept dropping and coming back in and out.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask today. I have.
There's an echo. There's an echo going on. Do you have us on speaker?
No. Is it better now?
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was saying is that I had my performance review today around like 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I was I'm thinking of it.
Is this the one where the situation where you're trying to move to a different department?
I am, but then I mean, right now what they say, but they don't have a rec. So they need a rec to be able to move me. But like right now, all that part is like, kind of not happening, but then I have my performance review today, and I'm like not sure what's going to be outcome of that.
Because you have a conflict with your supervisor, right? That male?
Correct. With my boss. Yes.
And when was your last review by him?
It was last year.
And what was that?
Well, he didn't give me a good review last year, and I actually objected that review. I didn't even accept it. So I don't know what's going to be this year.
Well, you've been having problems with him. So probably.
Well, he is basically, yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm not looking at it from the logic perspective, because from the logic perspective, I've analyzed it overanalyzed it. But I was just trying to see if you were getting anything more psychically.
Well,
what's his conflict that he has with you? I mean, what is it, personality?
Because it is personality. And it is to do with the fact that he doesn't want to let me lead what, you know, he's been doing the work that before, and he's been, you know, the VP has selected him to do this job or whatever before in the past, but he just never gives it up. And like, if I'm doing something, he wants to have a piece of everything.
She wants to know a psychic vibe on what the review is going to be like. I mean, the vibe is probably there's going to be some conflict in the review. I don't think it's going to be totally positive, but that's also, you know, based on the information you've given us.
This guy's going to protect his interests. He's going to protect his side. And if you haven't come to any conclusion with him where that you can negotiate or be on friendlier terms to have a better understanding, he's not going to do you any favors. So on that level, don't expect a good report. But the way to, if you want to stay in this job, there's got to be a better way to get around the issues and have a better rapport with him so that he relaxes, because he's on defensive mode. And now he has an opportunity to strike. And if that's the case, he's going to strike. He's going to try to knock you down. What you want to do strategically is get around the issue by having a better rapport with him. And then I don't know what the big threat is between the two of you, what kind of threat you pose.
Because
you're
doesn't want to give up his control, and she probably.
Well, I mean, he doesn't want to give up his control, but how do you threaten his control unless you're trying to create a basis of overwhelming him with your power? You've got to, you know,
the thing is that, you know, people like me in the team, and then I come and present, I have a lot of ideas, I have the, you know, passion, enthusiasm, what I say, I follow through, I do the things, whereas him, he says it, but he never executes anything, and he doesn't respond back to people, and things
well,
like that, so,
supervisor?
But because
who is his supervisor, Niz?
He's the art director.
Oh, he is the top?
No, he's on the top.
The director.
The two people above him. People above him.
Well, how do they respond to this situation?
Well, I mean, now the thing is that they feel there's a communication problem between him and me, and they're going to have somebody help communicate better things between us and things like that. And
okay, that's good. But that's good. But let's talk about if your ideas are instrumental to the welfare of the company and you have good ideas, your director is going to want to listen to that more than your personality conflict with this guy. He's going to... And if you can get your... what does the director think of your ideas since you posed that position?
Well, my ideas are like this. Like, you know, I have teams that are coming and asking me for things, and then I just kind of, you know, feel it, and I go ahead and I do it.
Well,
and then he comes back and he says, why didn't you ask me first? Why didn't you do this first? Why didn't you do that?
What happens with the move? I mean... You're still there, which isn't surprising because it hasn't been that long since we talked about you maybe changing departments or you were going to approach, was it the director you were going to approach and go above your boss's authority?
I did, and I even tried to talk to my VP, but so they kind of decided this, that, you know, right now they won't be able to move me into that position that I am looking for. So I have to continue in the role that I'm in. And Correct.
Well, you know, Niz, I mean, if this guy is your general supervisor, go through protocol. You know, run it past him. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to succeed. You're not going to succeed. I would follow procedure. And then if you satisfy that, he feels that you're doing the proper process, and then there's conflict, maybe there you can get higher up to examine the situation. Because if your ideas are wonderful and people come to you with ideas, but you're not following protocol, then there's a reason for him to feel justified. Follow protocol, run a passion, and if there's frustration there, then express that to the director.
If I'm assuming correctly, Niz is having a problem with the boss because I'm guessing that he's resistant to any of her ideas. Is that true?
Correct.
He's not receptive.
So, you mean to hire the guy above him?
No, her direct boss. So she's saying if I follow protocol, he's hampering my ability to be creative and
so he's basically...
He's micromanaging you.
He's a blocker.
And what you've got to do is ask for a conference between your boss and the director so that he can hear the situation and take precedence over how to control it or how to change it. That's what you got to do, because otherwise this is not going to go anywhere. You've got to get an audience with your boss and your director. Ask for that audience from your director and voice your frustrations when the three of you are there in conflict.
If this is another negative review, how does that affect your standing within your company?
Well, I actually don't know, but I guess I won't be able to move into another role.
Well, you know, you got to do is get a conference. When is your review going to be established?
Today afternoon.
Okay, well, then go through the review, and then you have a right to challenge. And then after the review, let the review be what it is. Don't get into a fight with them. Just say, I don't agree, and exercise your right not to agree, and then ask for a conference with the director and try to get it resolved that way. That's your best route. Don't worry about the review.
All right.
Don't dwell on the review. Who cares? So he doesn't like you. He gives you a bad review. Then go to the director and talk to him and say, I'm having some problems. And I would like to have a conference with you and this guy and get this thing straightened out.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
all right. I will do that.
I just don't understand is that, you know, there are so many things, but they just, the best solution is to separate, but they just would not do it. I don't understand this.
Well, you're not always going to get cooperative people. Who knows? This guy may have some kind of problem with you. Who knows? Maybe you have a problem with power.
Woman? Does he have a problem with woman?
Could very well be. I was thinking about that this morning.
I wouldn't worry about the review. Just let him say what he wants to say. Don't argue with him. If you don't agree, then just agree and sign the thing, or don't sign it, and then ask for a conference with the director. That's all you got to do. Would be the best direction for you to take.
Okay. Okay, will do. Okay,
okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, she was riding a horse through Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
I don't know what that clomping. Maybe she's in heels. Anyway, we are at the end of today's saga. That's it. We lost a few people, but it was busy, so we wouldn't have had time to get everyone in today anyway. But we're back on the air on Friday. Yes, we are. 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today.